Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Try Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost, built for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, incredible load times, and 24/7 WordPress priority support, your sites will be lightning fast with global reach. And with Bluehost Cloud, your sites can handle surges in traffic no matter how big. Plus, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. Get started now at Bluehost.com.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. And on this 23rd day of August, and tonight is the fastest 2 hours in radio. This is Pledge Week, folks. We got less than 2 hours tonight. We got to do it. We're ready to run to this battle. Back there in the phone booth, I've got Christine, I've got Dennis, and I've got Eric. And there in the glass cage here, none other than our producer, ready to rumble, Johnny. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, Pastor. How you doing? Great to be here.
We're ready to go. And then here, you hear the cackle. You got the studio marm. She goes for coffee. She goes for donuts. Go ahead, cackle. There's always a cackle, never any eggs. Did you hear that? Do it again.
Oh,
get out of here. Go on.
Good evening, everyone.
All right. She's been waiting all day to do that. All righty. There you go. Now listen, way out yonder in Texas, he's well known. He's infamous. He's a statesman. He's a tall, kind of a Texas-looking guy, but he's got a New York accent, which is kind of strange, but any other, there he is, the man himself, none other than Big John McTernan.
Hey, you guys, you all. How's that, Mr. Ernie?
All right, there you go.
Now, listen, we have a big test tonight, all right?
I'm ready.
I have a brand-new phone, I mean literally brand-new, and I'm testing it out to see how you hear me and I hear you. And so how am I sounding with my brand-new phone?
You sound okay. In fact, we're kind of waiting for you to say something profound. I think you're going to do it with a brand-new phone, right? That's what you normally
do. I'll save it closer to the end.
All righty, very good. Listen, we got a lot to do tonight. And this is Pledge Week, Pledge Week, Pledge Week. And so we want to start out by giving you the phone numbers at 888-281-1110. We've got volunteers. Boy, I'll tell you, Eric's been for 2 days, he was by himself. It was really tough on him. But now he's got help back there. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. All righty, Carol in Erie pledges 400. Wendy in North Carolina pledges 500. All righty, we're off to a good start tonight. And so, John, we're going to pick it up. And the title of my message was James, a preacher and a pastor, who told them what they needed to hear. Boy, do we need more preachers like that today, don't we?
Amen. We certainly do.
And we're going to pick it up where we finish off in James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. would you want to go to James chapter 5 and read verses 7 through 12?
I'm right there, Pastor Ernie. Just let me get it lined up. Okay, starting at verse 7 to 12.
Yep.
Verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation.
All right, so he's talking about here waiting on the Lord as being patient, and he's talking about a time, James is talking about a time of persecution there, but they were looking, and one thing that you need is during such a time like that, John, is what? Unity. You really have to have unity, and you got to know who, you got to know who you can trust and who you can't trust. And so, here, when he says, "Grudge not against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned," behold, the judge standeth at the door. And so here, he goes and he says, "Take my brother and the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord." For an example of suffering, of affliction, and of patience. Well, they certainly have learned suffering and affliction and patience, haven't they, throughout the ages? And that's still happening today. Today we have prophets still, but they're forth-tellers, not foretellers like it was in the Old Testament. And so here, when he says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure," you have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the day of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful. You know, that word pitiful, or pitiful actually, John, means full of compassion. It's a word that in the Hebrew means, or in the Greek rather, full of compassion. So the Lord is full of compassion and of tender mercy. But here you get into a good verse here, John. Above all things, my brethren, swear not neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Remember, what was in Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, what was the very first thing, right from the beginning, he asked you to do, the people that are reading this book?
I don't know, Pastor Ernie. I wouldn't spend any time on that.
The very start, he tells people to enter into an oath and swear an oath with him and a stranger. Find a stranger and then enter into an oath with him and a stranger, the three of you. And here, so would you do this? Would you turn over to Matthew chapter 5 and read me verses 34 through 37, Matthew 5, verses 34 through 37.
Okay, I'm in Matthew 5, verses
34 through 37.
All right, I'm almost there. Here we go. Nor 34. Mm-hmm. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. Neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by the head, because thou canst make one hair white or black. But let your communications be yea, yea, nay, nay. for whatsoever is more than these cometh from evil.
Now, there are those that says that doesn't mean what it means. Now, is there any confusion on what he's telling you? In both these verses are the same. Here, James is quoting Jesus. But is there any, I mean, is that clear enough to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Pastor Ernie, what happens if we make an oath by heaven, let's say, and it turns out that we're not completely accurate, or we thought we were, but we weren't, and or maybe we hedged a little? I mean, that's really serious stuff. That's what the scriptures are talking about here.
Absolutely. That's what he's telling you. And here, you know, we're going to switch over now and go to Acts chapter 15. Are you ready to go to Acts chapter 15?
I am ready. I am there. And tell me the verse.
Starting with verse 1 all the way through 17. Verse 1 through 17. Well, would you read verses 1 through 5?
Sure. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. And when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of the brethren should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on the way by the church, they passed through
Phoenicia,
and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there arose certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses.
Okay, so this is what Paul was talking about in Galatians. These were the Judaizers. And they were saying, now, these Judaizers still exist. When I was in Israel, I ran into a bunch of them. And I can tell you one thing. They're not real open to having a discussion on the difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. And so, and the new covenant of Jeremiah 31:31. So here, in fact, they were professing to be Orthodox Jews who recognized Jesus Christ as Messiah. They recognized Isaiah 53, that is Messiah. But at the same time, they said, in order to be obedient to Messiah, obviously, since he had given the instructions to Abraham, he'd taken the people that weren't a people, and he made them his people, the Jews, and then that he had given Moses the law, therefore, we had to be, in other words, be obedient to Christ, but also to the laws of Moses. So what happens there when you try to mix grace, the letter of the law with the spirit of the law? And so the idea was we had to keep the dietary, all the dietary laws, all of the Sabbath, you know, the seventh-day laws, the seventh-day Sabbath, no work, all of that, the travel. But here's the other thing. Try to convince a number of grown men that have never been circumcised that they should get circumcised, okay? You know, they circumcise a baby boy at the eighth day, and that baby boy really can't put up much of an argument, can he?
I don't think so, Pastor Ernie. I don't think so.
But now, if they were telling you that you had to be circumcised now, you'd probably put up a good argument, wouldn't you?
Well, Pastor Ernie, you brought up something that's really, really interesting. Let's go back into the Old Testament days before the Lord came. It was very hard to get converts to Judaism for that very reason, Pastor Ernie, what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Okay. And so here now, we pick it up in verse 6. And the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. Okay. You remember, this is one of the things that Paul, the Apostle Paul, well, this wasn't the reason, but when Paul withstood Peter to his face, because when the Judaizers weren't around, then Peter, you know, he would eat with the Gentiles, okay? And James now was the pastor of the church there in Jerusalem. But when the Judaizers, the Pharisees, came around, all of a sudden Peter didn't know the Gentiles anymore, the new Gentile converts, okay? In other words, he ignored them, and so Paul withstood him to his face because of that. But now he goes on, and the apostles and the elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word and the gospel and believe. Remember the blanket and all the animals that God showed Peter?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And remember what Peter said? He said, I'm not going to touch any of that. I'm not going to touch them. They're not clean. And what did God tell him?
He said, basically, what I made clean is clean.
That's absolutely right. Okay. Oh, Joe in Akron pledges $200. Oh, I forgot all about this. We're into the Bible study. This is pledging. 888-281-1110. That's the credit card line. 888-281-1110. All right, folks.
Pastor Ernie, I'd like to interject here with something.
Yeah.
For years, I have engaged in numbers and numbers of what we're describing here as the Judaizers. You know, and the bottom line is what they do makes them feel righteous. That's the bottom line. So their works righteous, and we're Christ righteous, Pastor Ernie. That's the huge difference. One of the differences between us and them. They're self-righteous through keeping works of the law, and we are Christ righteous through his work on the cross.
So we're saved by faith and grace, but works is the evidence, right, of salvation. Like, faith without works is dead, being alone. It's kind of like, look, if you have a snowfall and you look out the window in the morning and the freshly fallen snow, and you see deer tracks, you see these tracks in the snow. Well, that tells you right there's evidence that there was a deer there, huh?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
And so when you see someone with a profession of faith, like James said, show me your faith without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works, okay? Because faith without works is absolutely dead. So now if you go back to James chapter 4 and read me verse 17. James 4:17.
All right, James
4:17.
Verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Okay, so that's called a sin of omission. Did the Lord Jesus preach more on sins of omission or sins of commission?
Well, I know we preached about both, Pastor Ernie, and you're asking the question, so I'm going to guess and said omission.
You'd be right. He did. He preached more on sins of omission. When you fail to feed the hungry, when you fail to clothe the naked, when you fail to house the homeless, when you fail to visit those that are sick or in prison, when you fail to do all of these things, what have you done? You've sinned, right? And so here we are to be bold. But what are the main things that so many people fail to do that really is a horrible sin of omission? And that is to fail to preach the gospel, to witness to people, that's called the Great Commission, huh?
That's right, Pastor Ernie. And that was before the Lord ascended into heaven. It says he gave commandments unto the apostles. And what it was basically repent and preach the remission of sin throughout the world, beginning at Jerusalem, in my name, beginning in Jerusalem.
Evangelizing, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching my word, huh? All right.
Make disciples.
Paul in Texas out there pledges 50, and Susan in Michigan pledges 100. Thank you. 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Credit card line 888-281-1110. Now, let me pick it up where we left off. It says, now therefore, why tempt you, God, to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. So now he's telling you that he's referring to the Gentiles are saved by faith, not by works, not by keeping the laws of Moses. And he said, look, none of us were ever able to keep the laws. We know that. So why do we want to try to put that yoke on them that we could not bear ourselves? Okay. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. So what were the people that God took out of the Gentile nations for his name?
They were pagans, Pastor, right?
No, he took them out of the pagan nations. They were called Jews. Remember, before Abraham, there was no Jews, right? And so God took the people out of the Gentiles, and he made these people a people by his name. That's the nation of Israel. And so here now he goes on, and after they had held their peace, And to this degree, the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doth all these things. And so now, what is the name of those Gentiles that he's referring to? They're called.
Oh, you got me.
They're called Christians.
So,
and that's under his name from Jesus Christ. And right. So
they were first called Christians in Antioch.
Yeah. Before that, they were called of that way, those of the way.
That the way, you're absolutely right, the way, yes, the way.
And that was what they were referred to. Now, let me ask you this. When they were referred to as Christians, was that a name that was given an honor, or was that virtually a curse word?
Well, if you look at the apostles and how they preach, like in Thessalonica and other Ephesus and all, they cause riots. And the preaching the Lord's name was not received easily.
Right. So when they were referred to the Christians, they weren't referring to them in a respectful way. But it's like if we were to call somebody a Democrat, right? Democrats are not good things, right? And so
they certainly are not.
They're horrible, aren't they?
I there seems to be no bottoming out on them. I think they've reached the bottom, but there is no bottom.
You're telling me. He goes, known unto God are all the works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them, and they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornications, and from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. And we're going to cut away. Now we're going to listen to, John, did you know that the Democrats believe that boys have menstrual periods? I can prove it. This is right from the DNC. But go ahead and take her away, Johnny.
State Antifa agitators being paid to show up at the DNC to mingle inside of the protests that were already organized to tear down police barriers, to set American flags on fire. Well, that's exactly what appears to be happening. Terry Newsom, host of Behind Enemy Lines, was right there. By the way, Terry was also standing right behind Ray Epps on January 6th and sees a lot of similarities to these agitators who were there, you know, protesting organically out of the blue. And Terry joins us now. Terry, you were in the thick of it yesterday in Chicago, and it looked pretty terrifying. And we see these protesters burning American flags, these agitators getting in fights with you and others. Who are these guys? Are these Antifa guys?
Yeah, absolutely. They're, I guess, the quote professional Antifa guys. There's some that are working full time, like the couple gentlemen that was in the story I sent you, Jeremy and Jason Mahanam, full-time Antifa guys. They agitate, they harass the whole city of Chicago, parents, and they did exactly what they did at January 6th, these group of Antifa guys. I did not see the Hammond brothers there. They're there somewhere. And what they did was agitated their own people, started, you know, harassing and got them to redirect from the parade, which they're supposed to do a oval and go back to the original park. And those agitators, the gentleman you have a photo of, was harassing his own people and forced them and pushed them to go to the barriers that were penetrated on day one. And then they all participated in removing the barriers, and they're calling them, come on in, just like January 6th. Come on in, come on in.
This is crazy. Like, so let's put this picture up. This guy here, he's wearing like a bandana. And so the protest parade is sort of coming down, but it's like 150 different organizations, you say. So it's not just like one sort of monolithic group, right? It's just 150 different organizations. They're coming down the street.
Yeah.
This guy, whoever he is, along with others, start to redirect them to go towards the barriers. Am I understanding you correctly?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And for the parade, there's marshals, right, that are with the organization, like, you know, the Palestinian Hamas and whatever. And they actually circled these guys because these guys were pushing. We thought there was going to be a fight, but, you know, they were pushing their own guys, supposedly, right? And then these marshals got around them trying to contain the agitation. But these guys were much more aggressive and forceful than these other folks. And they were arguing over, go this way. And then they're going, like, go that way. It's kind of funny. And eventually they started following him and his cluster of the militant Antifa guys. You know, they're all black. They hit the metal shields on the back and stuff like that. And as they got closer to the barriers, the same guy got in a circle with his other Antifa guys. They're blocking so you can't see. And they changed their clothes, typical Antifa fashion, took his bandana off and his hair puffed up, you know. And then they went and they started attacking the unpenetrable fencing that the Chicago said was, and they started taking them out and sliding them out. And then some of the guys would get on there, come on, come on, just like on January 6th. You know, another thing they're saying as they were walking up, whose streets, our streets, whose streets, our streets. The same thing we heard at the Capitol, whose house, our house, whose house, our house. Similar chants to agitate, to get people, you know, excited, motivated. And they did the exact same thing here. And when they, then
what
once the guy.
What do you think is behind it? I mean, who's behind it? Who's funding this? So these Antifa guys come in wearing masks so we don't see them. I mean, the obvious feeling is that these are feds in some relation, that there's some motivation to make these guys look crazy, that they're burning American flags, But they're being paid, and it's organized. So who's behind this, do you think?
I'm certain you hear. I mean, all of us hear about this, right? George Soros, the dark money. There's guys. They're full time. That's all they do. They harass parents. I mean, all day long, right? We have events. They threaten to shoot them up. They're full time doing this. They can't have jobs. I mean, a lot of them are lowlifes. Those other guys I sent you, decade in prison and stuff. I don't know. I mean, they don't work. So this is their job and they're getting funding. I wish at some point in time, we keep talking about Soros, we keep talking about dark money. It's coming from somewhere. And then they hit those signs. You see the signs everywhere, like stacked. I mean, just laying there at the park in Ben Arrow Film, it was just tons. I mean, thousands of them, so somebody's, it's cost a lot of money for what they had set up yesterday.
Yeah, and the digital infrastructure, as you pointed out, Jim Hoft over at the Gateway Pundit also published some of their digital communications and organizing behind the scenes. So this is all orchestrated. I mean, we also saw vans of individuals pulling up and so forth. So, the back end sort of digital communications is also very orchestrated, right?
Yeah, they had they were using some sort of Russian encrypted apps that they were using to communicate amongst themselves, like similar to a Telegram, but it's a Russian version of Telegram that they were all communicating. They were well organized. And I think it's going to get worse throughout the week. Right. And Antifa has their different little, loosely coupled, which is true, but there's someone like at the helm, right, that's coordinating on who does what, who gets arrested at what time, like this guy, Stevie O, who got arrested. It makes you wonder, do you want to get taken out or arrested on day one? And how they plan out the rest of the days, because there's going to be more stuff tonight. There's going to be more stuff tomorrow. And there's somebody at the helm, right, collaborating amongst them all. I think it's those Hammond brothers.
I mean, if you think about it, right, I mean, I don't want to be conspiratorial here, but if they're organized and their goal is to go into these groups and then make them appear as if they are anti-American, right? So these Antifa guys went into this protest and started burning the American flag, and then the cameras show up, right? Mm-hmm. So now that entire protest is painted as anti-American, right? I mean, I'm trying to understand their goal here, right? And I don't want us to be, again, I don't want us to be fooled. I don't want us to be sheep.
Yeah.
Like, what's the goal here? Like, these billionaires are doing this, trying to agitate for this. They disrupted like a Nancy Pelosi thing last night on the Stephen Colbert show, yelling out. So there's like there's these agitators doing this. I mean, are they all part of this organization? Are they all part of this Antifa, these Antifa guys?
I guess I view them, I don't want to compliment, they're like the special forces, right? Of the radical leftists, of agitators and anti-fascists, right? Then you got these other leftist radical groups. And then once you ignite that fire, just like January 6th, Clayton, they're just people that right. are grandparents. Oh, once it happens, right? And they knew that, and that's what they did. That's what they did on Monday. And I really believe there's definitely big money behind this, huge money. And it's got to be a way at some point.
I would love to be able to track it. I mean, again, I really want to get to the heart of this. I mean, I know you're there on the street, so we don't know where the money's traveling through, what bank accounts or whatever. But you pointed out the arrests. So this guy Steve-O, we had the video that you sent. You were there, and the people were telling you that this guy Steve was arrested. He'll be out in 2 hours, they told you. How did they, like, so what, can you explain that? How would they know that this guy would be out in 2 hours? They already seem to have known this.
Well, to your point about who and why someone's doing this, I forgot the name of the National Lawyers Association. They have these green hats on, and it was announced 2 days before, they will take care of everybody that gets arrested from the protesters, everybody. So that to me is a dog whistle. Hey, we got your back, right? So Ben and I were, we were messing with them and try to get them on camera. Hey, could you help us? They just throw milk on us. We don't talk to you. We won't talk. I go, oh, you're only here for talking to Antifa or Palestinian. No comments, sir. So they're there and they're there helping them. Somebody's funding them too, right, Clayton? A bunch of right. attorneys and people that are, watching all this stuff occur. And then another thing, like tonight, I think at 5 o'clock, I can't make it, but they finally gave the Jewish people a permit right across from Antifa and the Palestine thing. So, I mean, so I'm glad the Jewish people have a chance to voice their concerns, but that's going to be crazy, right? I mean, it's right across the street. Why did they do it? Did they do that on purpose? We'll know later tonight,
of course.
Right?
No, of course they did it on purpose. I mean, again, I think this is all orchestrated. Everyone watching right now, don't be fooled, because you see it all over Fox News last night. You know, they had all these reporters out there covering the violent protests and all of this outside, right? So any sort of message from any Palestinians who were there or whatever, who are like against what's going on in Gaza, it gets totally muffled up by what's happening by these agitators and these Antifa guys, right? As you mentioned, 150 different organizations taking place in these protests. You think they all came there with violent intent? These guys get a bullhorn out and they say, come this way. So I want to know, like, who's behind this? What is the purpose of this? And now you're going to have Jewish protesters given a spot right next to them. They're doing it on purpose, yeah, because they want to see violent clashes on TV. That's what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't understand why they would want that. There's obviously a reason. This is very well orchestrated. And, you know, they got their, I don't know if you saw, they got bleach kits put out everywhere. It's like crazy. Yeah. The city of Chicago put those out. Like what the military guys carry. It's a civilian version of getting shot and having a bleach kit, you know, and everything's boarded up.
Pritzker. I mean, to talk about these guys changing their clothes, like what's the motivation of these Antifa guys? Why are they changing their outfits? And you caught it on camera with this guy that we have here with this bandana. Like, why do they change their clothes suddenly? What's the purpose?
So they changed their clothes from when they had the interaction, the conflict with their own people, the Palestinians, and tell them to follow them, right? The protesters, the Hamas. And which it makes really no sense to me, because we're there filming. So they walk from there a block and a half down from the corner of the park to where all the fencing is on two sides, right? Police on this side, us, and then the street is open, right? And they had the fencing up. 20 feet from the fencing, they got in a big circle and people took turns changing their clothes. You know, so we're sitting there watching them. I know the intent. The intent is to try to trick law enforcement. But it wasn't that tricky or sneaky. I mean, they're doing it there. You know, that guy, he took his bandana off. His hair was really fluffy. He put on different shorts, a different shirt, and some of the same people did. Then they went, proceeded to the fencing and started taking the fencing down. So I'm not really sure. It wasn't really a top secret 007, you know, right, change that.
Well, I would love to know. I mean, we have all this facial recognition tools now, right? That's why they're wearing these masks. They don't want you to know where they're coming from. The reason they're wearing masks is they don't want you to track them. They don't want you to see that these people are, they have a history of being paid. I wouldn't doubt that a lot of these guys are bussed in similarly to what we saw in the college protests. You had these protests on college campuses. We know that George Soros funded protesters were paid to go and agitate on these campuses. That had been reported multiple times from multiple different sources. So we know that they're bussing these people in order to, I don't know, create more drama, so that the television cameras show up and they say, look at all these violent protests. Like, something is going on here.
Yeah, I have a facial scan go. My IT security good friend is running a facial scan on this guy. So hopefully the images were good enough, you know, because they have to, you know, so it's going through the system right now. So hopefully I'll have a name for this.
Hmm. Good. Well, Terry, be safe out there. I know we're going to see what happens. What do you expect is going to happen tonight, Wednesday night at the DNC?
Yeah, I think they're rallying up a little worse at nighttime, right? It's going to get worse as it progresses. And I'm assuming during Kamala Harris's speech, it might be, you know, the worst. These people want to do this. These people like to do this. That's why they're here. They're not only here just because they say they have a voice that they want to be heard. These are scumbags, right? They enjoy this stuff. And it's probably the highlight of their lives.
Oh, for sure. Well, Terry Newsom is there. He is hosted Behind Enemy Lines. He is literally behind enemy lines right on the streets of this violence in Chicago and these deep state agitators who are being paid to be there. Terry, great to see you. Thanks so much.
Clayton, sorry, one more thing. They're using Behind Enemy Lines. I don't know. Did you see those stories? That they used Behind Enemy Lines. They're doing that on purpose. It's Behind-Enemy-Lines to associate it with me. Google search.
Well, their electronic communication?
Their website and the name of the one organization, the violent militant one, is called Behind Enemy Lines on purpose. So I forgot to send that to you. Yeah, I got all these messages last night. It says, that you? They attacked the consulate. Behind Enemy Lines attacked them last night. That's the Chicago guys.
So, to make people believe that it's you and your team using that name, again, they will stop at nothing. Terry, thank you so much. That's unbelievable. Thanks, Terry.
All right. I must have picked the wrong clip because the clip that I had, they had women from the DNC. Maybe that was a clip we played last night where she was talking about boys, the reason that they put these tampons in the boys' bathrooms was because boys have periods. Now, I don't never heard of any. I didn't know. John, do you know of any boys that have had periods? But this is what she was saying, right?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, I don't. That's kind of impossible. But to the liberal, woke, delusionary mind, I guess anything is possible.
Alrighty. Stephen in Toledo pledged 25. Sharon in Ontario pledged 500. Esther in Chicago pledged 200. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Folks, 216-90. No, that's the wrong number. 888-281-1110. That's the credit card number. We have 1 hour left tonight. 1 hour left to meet our goals, and right now we're way behind. 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. We need to hear from you. We've got to keep those lines open tonight. This is it. We got an hour left. We really have to do some heavy-duty lifting tonight. In fact, I'm going to set the pace. I'll tell you what, Johnny, put me down for 2,000. Put me down for 2,000. I need to. That's right. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is this week. So there you go, folks. Who can match? I need some matches. I need some matches for 2,000. So far, we've had about four or five matches this week for 2,000. We want to thank the Lord for that. We've had several for 1,000 and several for, or a couple for 1,500. So maybe I ought to put McTurnan down for 2,000. What do you think? Are you ready, John?
If I had it, I would.
All right. Okay. All right, we got it. We got to do some lightning rounds, and we're starting out. U.S. Supreme Court upholds Arizona's law requiring proof of citizenship to register to vote. The Democrats have been fighting it, and with the rhinos out there in Arizona, and so the court on Thursday, the U.S. Supreme Court, in a 5-4 decision, granted a request from the Republican National Committee to make Arizona enforce measures requiring people to show proof of U.S. citizenship when registering to vote. Remember what we said about Amy Comey Barrett? She went with the other side.
Sadly, it's true. It's more and more evident.
Yeah. Yeah, she's voting with the communists more and more, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
The vote was 5-4 with Amy Comey Barrett joining the far, far left court justices in the opposition. The voter registration law will immediately go into effect ahead of the upcoming November election. But let me tell you, the left is gearing up big time. And I had an article here to show you because the left has got their... I'll have to find the article. Meanwhile, did you know what happened today? RFK Jr. officially endorses President Trump, formally announces he will partner with Trump's administration. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has officially endorsed former President Donald Trump for the 2024 presidential election. Kennedy, in a statement, outlined three primary causes that drove him to this decision. One, free speech. Two, the war in Ukraine. And what he described as the war on our children. He explained that these issues were central to his initial decision to leave the Democratic Communist Party and run as an independent, and now they have compelled him to support Trump's candidacy. Okay, so... here, I want to say Lisa has pledged $100. Lisa has pledged $100. Already, 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. And so But anyhow, so what do you think about that, John?
Well, Pastor Ernie, it's really good, but then there's a part of it that's not so good, and that has to do about Kennedy is a big-time pro-abort, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, I know that. That's why I could never support him at all. But now his big thing is the vaccines.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, he's right on with that. But, you know, he's not running for office and having political power, so that's okay. But it's that he's a hardcore pro-abort, Pastor Ernie.
Okay, so now here, he's running. He's going to have. He's not out of the race. I mean, he's supporting Trump, but he's still going to stay on the ballot. And I don't know how many states he's on now, and on the ballot in there. And can he give his He can give his delegates over to Trump, can't he?
Well, the delegate thing is over. It doesn't help Trump at all.
Well, no, they need, 270?
Oh, you're talking about for the Electoral College.
Yeah, the Electoral College, that's what I mean, yeah. He can give those Electoral College votes, he can give those to Trump if he needs to do that.
I don't think he's going to win any, Pastor Ernie. He's only going to pick up, enough that he can be really important in the election, but I don't think he's going to win any states.
Well, there's going to be a lot of people that are anti-Kamalic. By the way, that's Kamala's new name is Kamalic. You know, Malik suffering the children, sacrificing the children. So all you folks out there, from now on, that's her name, Kamalic. Those who sacrifice the children. She is an extremely ungodly, evil, very, very wicked woman, an extremely wicked woman. There's not enough blood running through the veins of innocent children to curb her thirst for the killing. And so, anyhow, so there's going to be a lot of people that are anti-Kamalic and a lot of people that are anti-Trump, and so they need a place to go, and they're going to go to him. And he figures he can pick up anywhere between 5% and 7% of the vote. And that's actually quite a bit, isn't it?
Well, he said he's dropping out of the race, Pastor, and then he's going to work with Trump.
Well, no, he's not dropping out of the race. He said but he's going to be working with Trump. I don't know. That's what he says here. I can.
Yeah. He wants to work with Trump, Pastor, and he doesn't want to run against.
I know. Well, let me read you the article. The three great causes. Here's what he says that drove me down this race, down to this race in the first place, are primary principles that persuaded me to leave the Democratic Party and run as an independent. Now, to throw my support behind President Trump, the causes were free speech, the war in Ukraine, and the war on children, Kennedy said. Kennedy went on to lament the transformation of the Democratic Party, which he described as having abandoned its roots in the party of the working class, government transparency, and environmental stewardship. We were the party of labor, of the working class. The Democrats were the party of government transparency and the champion of the environment. Our party was the bulwark against big money, interest, and corporate power. True to its name, it was the party of the democracy, he said. Reflecting on his decision to leave the Democratic Party, Kennedy cited that he sees as a dramatic departure from the core values he was raised with. As you know, I left the party in October because it had departed so dramatically from the core values that I grew up with. Kennedy didn't hold back with his criticism, labeling the Democratic Party as having become the party of war, of censorship, of corruption, of big pharma, of big tech, of big AG, and big, big money. He also took aim at the party's handling of the 2024 election cycle, accused it of abandoning democratic principles. They wanted to abandon democracy by canceling the primary to conceal the cognitive decline of the sitting president, Kennedy stated a sharp rebuke of the party's leadership. And so he said, I throw my support behind Donald Trump, but here...
Okay, I found this on the web for should I throw my support behind Donald Trump. Check it out.
that's my smart aleck phone. It just came out and heard me across the room. All righty. Let's see. We have Crystal in California pledges 300. And Walt in Arizona pledges 1,000. Thank you, Crystal. Thank you, Walt. All right.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, I'm looking at a headline, and it says RFK Jr. suspends campaign, backs Trump. MAGA Independent Alliance against Uniparty.
Okay, well, here's, you know, what they're saying is he's suspended. He hasn't dropped out of the race, is what I'm trying to say, is what they're saying here. He suspended his campaign, but he's supporting Trump. So, well, we'll see. I don't know. I'm not quite sure what they mean. Okay.
Well, I think it means what it says. He's suspending his campaign. They're not running anymore, and he's throwing in with Trump.
That's what I was trying to do. That's what I thought. But here they said that he's not ending. He's not ending his campaign. He's simply suspending it for now, is what they're saying in this article for the Gateway Pundit. So I don't know. So see, it's, you can suspend something without ending it, right? When you were in school, and you know how when you were messing up all the time, you got suspended from school, but they didn't throw you out, did they? You didn't quit. Got caught, didn't you, John?
I was a choir boy in school.
All right, listen.
I didn't know anything about that.
We're coming up to a break. And when we come back from the break, we have another clip. You want to listen to it? I'll tell you about that after the break. So, again, 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. We have right now about 1 hour, 1 hour left to raise what we need to do. So, folks, give us a call. Help us stay on that station you're listening to us on. We'll be back after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away. I'll tell you what Trump did after this.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.